Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
All right, most of our fellow citizens think that our country is headed in the wrong direction. And I am not here to make a political speech. You may or may not agree with that, but the polling indicates that most of our fellow citizens think the country is headed in the wrong direction. You may think that the country is headed in the right direction, but you think we ought to go at a quicker pace. So what I want to share with you this morning is equally applicable no matter what. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. The first time I saw that passage, it was sent to me by a friend of Pastor Hamlet's and mine, Dr. Ed Young in Houston, Texas, sent that to me, and my eyes immediately went to the very first part of that verse. If my people. That verse is directed to the very same people who founded and defended and furthered and nurtured this country. It is directed to you. And I want you to do something for me. I want you to think right now, in your own lifetime, has the influence of the government gone up or down, and has the influence of the church gone up or down? Because from where my vantage point, the influence of the government is going up and the influence of the church is going down. I want you to read something. I want you to read something called the Million Dialogue. And it's a conversation, it's a dialogue between the people, the millions, the people from Milos, and the Athenians. They were about to wage war against each other. Athens was huge and powerful. The millions were small. And there's a dialogue, it's a debate between the Athenians and the millions. And the millions were having to decide whether or not to surrender and capitulate or whether or not to fight, even though they knew they were going to lose. There was no way the millions could beat the Athenians. Every commonsensical notion told them to surrender or partner with the Athenians. So there's a dialogue back and forth. The millions were pure. The millions were idealistic. And then the millions were destroyed. What do you believe in enough to lose? What do you believe in enough that you would march forward even if you knew that you were marching forward to a certain defeat? I want you to read the Million Dialogue. It's short. I made every employee at the district attorney's office read it. And then I asked them two questions. Which do you value more, truth or freedom? And every single person in my office said freedom. And I said, okay, which do you value more, unity or diversity? And every one but one said diversity. Look, truth and freedom are both really important. But at some point, you and your generation have to ask yourselves, what is the benefit of the freedom to be wrong? Do you really value freedom more than truth? Do you even think there is a truth? But we are, after all, the United States of America. So what is it that unites us? So I'll go back to the verse, and I'll think, well, is there an answer in that verse? If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their what? Wicked ways. Well, maybe there's a start. Sure. Can we at least agree that there is good and bad? Or is everything relative? For 16 years, I never once stood in front of a jury and tried to convince them that murder was wrong. Never once. I never tried to convince a jury that robbery was wrong. That discrimination was wrong. That mistreating children was wrong. So there is a source of unity. There is a code by which we all have agreed to live. What is the source of that code? And if you are in that group that wants a better future than the present you are experiencing. If you don't like this disunity, if you don't like this sense of angst, if you don't like what seems to be forcing you to be detached and cynical about your country and your government, then you got to do something about it. You got to figure out what you believe, and more importantly, you got to figure out why you believe it. It is never enough in politics or any other sphere of persuasion to simply tell people what you believe. You have to tell them why you believe it. Do you believe in respect for the rule of law? Let me tell you something about the law. It is the most unifying and equalizing force that we have in this country. It is the only thing that makes the richest person in this county drive the same speed limit as the poorest person. It is what makes the richest person in Virginia pay his or her taxes on precisely the same day as the poorest. So if you don't like the direction of our country, or you want a better future, what do you believe and why do you believe it? Secondarily, you can be the smartest person in the world, and if you can't communicate what you believe, you're not going to be very successful. So you do need a message, and that message better be why you believe what you believe, but you also need a very effective manner or method of communication. In other words, you need to learn how to persuade. How do you persuade in life? Facts, authenticity, sincerity, credibility. You want to persuade, change people's minds to come around to your way of thinking on whatever issue it is? And I don't care about your politics. They're none of my business. You can have whatever politics you want. But I will tell you what doesn't work: insulting people. Any of you been married for more than a week? Any of you aspire to be married at any point in life? Let me give you a piece of free advice after 25 years of marriage. Insulting people does not work if your objective is to persuade. Look, I did not vote for President Obama. I didn't vote for him. But you know what? A majority of my fellow citizens did. So when I see a bumper sticker that says, don't blame me, I didn't vote for the idiot, do you think that's persuasive? Do you think anybody that voted for President Obama is going to be persuaded, yeah, maybe I possibly made a mistake because this person called me an idiot? Life doesn't work that way. You know what happens when you're insulted? You become even more dogmatic in holding your incorrect belief than you were before you were insulted. So if your goal is to persuade, you shouldn't be insulting people. Let me tell you what else doesn't work. Hypocrisy. Telling other people how to live their lives, but you live your life a different way. You want to persuade people? Hypocrisy doesn't work. Insults don't work. What does work? A relationship. The person has to know that you care about them. They have to know that you care about them. There are two people in politics that I think do a wonderful job of that, and I don't care whether you support either one of them. One is Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio was raised by a woman that cleaned other people's hotel rooms. But she had hope. She had hope that her son would have a better life. And now he's in the United States Senate. And the other person who does a wonderful job of communicating hope is a guy named Tim Scott, who is my best friend in politics. And Tim Scott's grandfather, who's now 94, would hold the newspaper up every morning at breakfast. Wanted Timmy to see him reading the newspaper. because of the value of education, the power of education. Wanted Timmy to be informed. Wanted him to be up on current events. So he held the newspaper up every single morning. Except he couldn't read. Can't read to this day. But he wanted to communicate hope to his grandson about the power of education. You want to persuade people? Do you speak in hopeful terms? Do you communicate hope? Are they convinced that you have their best interest at mind? So you got a message. You got a manner of communicating. All you need is a messenger, right? You're just waiting on whoever that is. Whether it's President Obama, whether it's Ronald Reagan, whether it's Abraham Lincoln, we're just waiting around on that great messenger, right? If you are waiting around for another Ronald Reagan or another Martin Luther King Jr. or another Abraham Lincoln, you are going to have a long, miserable wait. It's not going to happen. If you're waiting on a knight or knightess to ride in on a white horse and change whatever you think ails our country, or your school, or your community, or your family, it's not going to happen. You know who the messenger is? It's you. I work in a town that is named for Washington. I fly into an airport named for Reagan. I pass monuments to Jefferson and Lincoln and King, and every street is named after somebody famous, and there are statues and portraits in every one of the office buildings. I don't even know. They're so famous, I don't even know them. You know what I think about when I fly into Reagan? I think about a guy you've never heard of. You've never heard of him. I was about your age. I was exactly your age. Watching television with my father. February, in the throes of a terribly frigid winter in Washington, and a plane crashes into the 14th Street Bridge. And all the passengers except a half dozen were killed on impact, and those half dozen were in the icy waters of the Potomac River. And I'm watching this on television with my dad. This is before 24-hour news, but it was captivating the country. So you got these people in the icy waters of the Potomac, and you got the whirr of a helicopter coming. And that helicopter lowers a rope ladder into the waters of the Potomac, and it falls into the hands of a man you've never heard of before. If I called his name right now, you don't know him. So he has life in his hands, and he passes it to a stranger. And that person is hoisted to safety, and the helicopter takes her away, and it comes back, and the same scene repeats itself four more times. And every time, he's got his hands on a rope ladder. He is this close to saving his life. And every single time, he passes it to a stranger, not his wife, not his daughter, not his best friend, a stranger. And when the helicopter came back for him, he had succumbed to fatigue and drowned. His name was Arlen Williams. I'm not asking you to be Reagan. I'm not asking you to be Lincoln. I'm just asking you to live a quiet life of conviction and virtue and actually live out what you profess to believe. And if you can do that, you'll be a leader. You'll be persuasive. And your generation will get this country headed back in the direction that you want it to be in.
That's Congressman Trey Gowdy. This is a powerful word, and we're gonna make that that paper available for you too, so you can read about the
million dialogue.
Yeah, so that you can read about the historical stand that they didn't take because they were idealistic. There comes a point. I mean, that's a great question to ask. Which would you choose, truth or freedom, unity or diversity? And then we have to, you know, be willing to just, you can't have everything. You got to decide what you're going to do when things come down for a choice like that.
That's right.
And of course, that's where we are today. And I love the fact where he said that, you know, that we got to be able to, just because you're smarter doesn't mean you have the ability to communicate that, what's going on. We have to educate her. It's amazing to me. And since we've been on television and doing the different things we've been doing and radio, we've been learning out loud and learning things we didn't pay attention in school, and the media was entertaining us but not educating us. Mm. And so we had to begin to educate ourselves, and we were finding out things that are like, all of these congressmen, these senators, these presidents and Supreme Court, they take an oath of office that says, I swear to defend the Constitution from enemies foreign and domestic. Their whole purpose for being there is to guard the Constitution. But yet we've seen years and years of the very people said that they would protect it, attacking it.
Trying to destroy
it. Watering it down. I just heard with the Gorsuch hearing going on, that one particular Congress lady said, or senator, I forget her name, Boxer, I think. No, it wasn't who she was. But she's talking to the potential Supreme Court justice, and she says, if you accept the Constitution, that means you accept this negative thing, this negative thing, this negative thing, women's rights, slavery, different things of that nature. And it's like, that's not true, because the Constitution can change as the people vote amendments on it. Those things changed because of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had a Constitution that if the people, two-thirds of the people, two-thirds of the states decided they wanted an amendment, they can change it. That's how this country changed. That's how we moved. And out of all the countries that are available to go to historically, America's made some huge, huge movements towards a positive. I think about the former president of King's College,
Dinesh D'Souza.
Dinesh D'Souza, and he had a couple documentaries, and he talks about where people try to the lies being spoken over America. Well, nobody's, no man's perfect, and no country's perfect. But if you got to pick a country to go in, isn't it interesting that they're coming over the American borders?
That's right.
People say, oh, Denmark's such a great country. There's 6 million people there, and you don't see Americans catching a boat.
Hmm.
People say Canada's great. Well, you're free to go there, but they don't go there. Why?
In fact, some pledged that they would go there.
Yeah.
They didn't go.
They didn't go.
They didn't
people
go.
Weren't buying tickets. But the whole thing is, the reason why is because there's just, it's not perfect, but out of the different countries that are available, you know, God has really blessed America, and this Constitution is important. But to remove this Constitution is like remove the aquarium that the water's in, that your fish is in. Your water's going to pour everywhere. And I like that he says, you know, not only do we have to know something, but we have to be willing to die for that cause. Like this last man he thinks about that was in the water during the Potomac, and the water was so cold, he was letting other people go first. You know, we watch movies about that. But, you know, we got to start being the movie. We have to start living that in our life. People love to watch other people act and be in that last person who's willing to say, you know, they'll go down with the boat. But there really was people that would go down with the boat. I think about one particular SEAL team member that just gave his life for our country to be able to get the secrets that we just got in Yemen, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about it on our program. But he gave his life for us. How could we waste that? How can we not say we need to do what's right? I mean, if he gave his life so that we could be free as a country, then we need to stand up the way that he stood up, and the way that the military stands up every day, the way the officers stand up, and the way that leaders are in support of our Constitution is. I mean, I just am very grateful for Congressman Trey Gowdy and how he stood up. And he's basically saying, listen, Liberty University Christians out here, all I'm asking is you to live up to what you believe in.
That's right.
That is something.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.